You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
We're talking about momentum. On Sunday, I preached about living sacrificial. And so we were talking about a church which has momentum. And I think we have a slide about that. Do we have that there? A church. Now, I'm putting these things up on slides so that we can get it. Sometimes you've got to keep repeating yourself. But a church that has momentum, remember, these are the points we said. If you're in a church that has momentum, it has to have new people being added. How many know that? New people have to be coming in. We love you. We love I'm not going to call you the old faces, the familiar faces. Amen. We love the familiar faces, but how many know in this church we love new people? That's what we live for, is new people. We want new people to come in our church and they're just new. They're raw. They do things differently. They sit in different places. They may sit in your seat, your favorite seat. Praise God. Because listen, that's what we want. We want new people. We don't want just the status quo. And so if you're new here, we love you. You're our special guests. Amen. Praise God. But not just new. We don't want you just to come and be new. We want you to come and be transformed. We want your life to be changed. We want you to move from being like how you are in your old ways to become more like Jesus in a new way. God wants to give you a new life. How many know when we came into church, there's things we had to drop off? Some of you are like, no, I came in like this. No, come on. Let's be honest now. How many know when we come in, there's things that are just not Jesus about us. There's little attitudes. Maybe, I'm not saying everyone was on crack, but there's things that maybe just things that you need to, it's just not meant to be. So we need to see people being transformed. Your life needs to be changing. You may not be what they want you to be, but you're not what you was. People may quit. Hey, you're a Christian. I may not be what you want me to be. I may not be everything that you see. And maybe you still see some cracks and some faults in me, but I'm not what I was. I'm being transformed into something different. And the last thing is mission focus. And when we say mission, we're on a mission. Look at someone say, I'm on a mission. I don't know if that still, when I was growing up, that was like a big thing. I'm on a mission. I don't know if people still say those things now. You're looking at me like, no, Pastor, we don't say that no more. Okay, but we say on a mission. It means I'm on something. I'm serious. I'm not mucking about. And so we are on a mission to rescue lost souls. Lost souls. This is what we're on a mission. We believe in heaven and hell. We believe that when you die without Christ, you go to hell. And I'm telling you now, don't matter how bad you are, even my worst enemy, I don't want them in hell. Because hell is not like jail or prison or youth offenders where you're going to go for a while and come back out. Even if you get a life sentence, at least you know one day you'll die and it'll be over. In hell, it will never be over. In hell, there's no bail. In hell, there is no reprieve. In hell, there is no coming out or probation. In hell is forever. Imagine after you've been there a billion years and you know I'm never coming out. That alone would be bad enough. And then there's darkness and then there's torment and then there's a lake of fire. And so we feel the weight of this. And so when we leave here and we go throughout our lives and we go throughout our communities, we're on a mission. I want to try and get people saved. We're like those like firemen that rush into a house. We're there to rescue people because we see that the world is on fire by hell. And if people stay there, they're going to die. And so we're on a mission. We're not just, okay, I've come in, I was new, I've been transformed, I'm getting a job, I'm getting money, I'm getting married, I'm having children, I've got a house, I've got a car. Praise God, my life is good. No. Yeah, praise God, you can have all of that. God is not stopping you from having that. But there needs to be also a mission every day. And that's a church which has momentum, new people, transformation, mission. If a church doesn't have those three elements, there's no momentum in that church. Any of those things, you start to take those things out, the church goes funky. When there's no new people, we start to get funky. That we just get funky in a bad way, not in a good way. Funky like when something goes off. When there's no transformation, it just becomes a carnal crowd. And eventually we're going to start annoying one another. And when there's no mission, again, mission is what puts things in perspective. Let me tell you what happens. If you're new, you come to church and you start to get transformed, it gets to a point where you're like, well, why am I doing this? What's the point of me keep coming here? Why am I doing this? Why do I have to pray? Why do I have to give? Why do I have to do? Because it gets to a point where it's like, why? And when you understand, I'm on a mission. That's why. Because if I'm not in my place, imagine if I got up this morning and said, why? Why? I've been doing this for nearly 10 years. Why? Why am I coming here? Because what I'm believing, if I don't come here, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect people's lives. People might not be saved this year if I give up, if I drop out. There is ramifications. And so because we have the mission, we see that. Now, when we're saying a church that has momentum has people that have momentum. That means you guys, you have momentum. And we spoke about the helper, the minister, and the leader. I don't know if we've got that slide. Someone who's a helper. Have we got it? Okay, so someone who's a helper, this is someone who's come into church, and they say, you know what, I want to get involved in something in the church. I want to have ministry. We should, every Christian should have ministry. You should be involved. If you've been saved longer than 3 months, 6 months, I was only in church about a couple of months, and I came to the church, and I remember speaking to Pastor Peter. He wasn't even a pastor. He was the head usher. I think he was an usher, or Jay was a usher. So Pastor Jay, Pastor Peter, they weren't even pastors then. They were just disciples. And I just said to them, yeah, I want to do something in the church. And they said to me, okay, Courtney, come faithfully and help us set up the chairs. Because the chairs were never set up. We had this hole. We had to set up the chairs. And so something in me wanted to be involved. Something in me wanted to do something. I didn't just want to come sit in church and hear and receive and suck up like a Hoover and never do anything like a leech. I didn't feel that. And so if you want to be involved, we say, okay, start to be like some type of helper, get involved. And there's qualities you need. You need to be able to, someone who's willing to get involved. Say willing. You've got to be willing. We can't make you get involved. How many know we can't call the police on you? Where are you? Head usher, call the police. Why are you not here? You've got to be willing. If you're not willing, also you've got to be faithful. You've got to be coming to every service. Every service. Look at someone say every service. So some of you, that's like a swear word, man. Yeah, why are you talking to me like that? Listen, every service. Since I've been in ministry, I've never missed a service. Never missed a service. Actually, since I've been saved, I've never missed a service. Pastor, you weren't here last week. I was in Jamaica. I was in service in Jamaica. And it's a lot hotter than it is here. But I've never missed service. And obviously there's things where people get sick. Wheel them out of the hospital, dragging them down the road. We understand there's things there. But I'm talking about within your ability, you're not just, I just had a long day. How many know we've all had a long day? How many know some people are, it's just been a long day. Wednesday, it's like, boy, I just want to go home and sleep. But because you're faithful, you're here. You're faithful, you're here. And so if you're involved and you're faithful, you can be a helper. The next level of ministry. So this is just a helper. That's all we require. Thanks, James. Next one. Okay, the same two qualities, but we need you to live sacrificial. We need to be someone that makes sacrifices. What that means is now your ministry actually costs you something. So you see like the drummers and the keyboard players. I'm just going to use the praise and worship people and the singers here. They have to learn those songs and those instruments in their own time. So they could be sitting at home eating Chris, drinking Pepsi, watching YouTube. But they can't because they're like, you know what? I've been sent some songs. So, strength rises. Oh, that's not it. Strength. And so they're practicing for hours. That's living sacrificial. Sometimes what people want to do is they want a ministry. They want to be up here and seen, but they don't want to do nothing at home. So they just want to turn up. Yeah, I don't know it, but let's just practice. No, it's too late to practice now. No, there's no time to practice now. You should have sacrificed at home. You've got an event coming on. You're a concert. You're in the concert ministry. You're going to be doing something. You need to be thinking at home. I haven't got no time to be thinking at home. But then you're not ready for that level of ministry then. You've got to make those decisions. Because if there's going to be... How many know that the sermons I preach, I don't just think of them off the top of my head while I'm here. Maybe some of you, they may feel like that, but they're not. I've had to prepare in my own time. And we have to live sacrificial. And so to be in ministry, to really be a minister, you've got involved, you're faithful, and you're living sacrificial. And we said a leader, which was the next one. And not everybody's going to be a leader. Some people are organizers, but an organizer and a leader is a different thing. But because of time, I can't go into it. But the real main thing is you got to have momentum as a leader. Because a leader is someone who's not just organizing things. So we could set up all of these chairs. We could set up all of this stuff. This is organized well. You can be an organizer. A leader is someone who leads people, not things. A leader is someone who inspires people to follow them. A leader is someone who has influence with people. We can't control people. We don't want to control people because God don't control people. But what we do is we inspire people. We lead people by our lifestyle. And that means for you to be a leader, you've got to have your own momentum. The people that you're leading shouldn't have more momentum than you. How many know if I can run faster than you, you're not leading me? How many know that if I was running, and then or the other way around, if I'm running, okay, everyone follow me, and you run ahead of me, I'm not leading you anymore. And so this is why a leader without momentum is just an obstacle. A leader without momentum is an obstacle. It's someone that you have to step over. Oh, you're in my way, bro. Now let me go for Jesus. So that's why as a leader in any ministry, when you've got people, you need to have momentum. You need to be gaining your own momentum. And go to the next slide. So we spoke about how we gain momentum. We start with God. How many know that's where we have to start? And that means praying. That means seeking God, saying, God, do something in my life. Do a miracle in my life. Give me revival. We looked at the scripture throughout these weeks, and we said that the Bible says that Jesus is a life-giving spirit. Gone are the days, they should have never come, but gone are the days for the dead Christian. When I say the dead, dry Christianity, where we're just going through life, come by, oh my Lord. And all of this. No. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. Everywhere we go, we should be like a spark plug, setting things off. Sometimes it's not a nice way. Sometimes you're going to set off the wrong thing. Have you ever been somewhere and you start preaching and people just attack you? Talking about, hey, you can't say that. You're critical. Hey, you're trying to judge us. No. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm just preaching the truth. But the reality is, wherever we go, we make a difference. See, the problem with the church in our world today is, the world doesn't even care about the church anymore. It's like it doesn't exist. It doesn't like it. It doesn't not like it. It just doesn't exist. It's like, it's irrelevant. Who cares about it? That shouldn't be the case. Because in the Bible, we see that the church had one or two effects. Either people hated them or they loved them. But they knew they were there. Nowadays, people just walk past. Hey, we're at the church. Where? Yeah, they're, I haven't even seen it. You mean they're the club or the pub or the bookies? They know where that is. Or the chip shop. Oh, you mean where that brother's always standing there, like doing that? No, people know that, but not the church. The church should be the place where people have met with God and they're full of this Holy Ghost energy. Remember, one of my favorite scriptures, and I've probably overemphasized it, but you cannot overemphasize the scripture, where Jesus goes into the temple and he turns the tables over. They're in the temple, buying and selling and trading and... And goes, Jesus said, this is a house of prayer. This is God's house. And you're in here buying and selling and perverting with your corruption, with your bidding, trying to make money in the house of God. This is why we're not into all of that, making money. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make schemes. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I'm going to sell this here and sell this to you. No, listen, the church is not a place where we buy and sell. I don't want to come to the church and look at you like, yeah, I could make loads of money. I could buy this and sell this and make money off you guys. It shouldn't be the case. Jesus said, no, the house of God is a house of prayer. And he turns over the tables and he makes a whip and he's whipping man out of the temple. Get out. Get out of here. I love that. I love that. Because growing up, I was like, this is Jesus. I was told this was Jesus. Let the little children come unto me. He did say that. But he also went into the temple and then he whipped. He says, listen, whip them. My wife was like, you come back from Jamaica different. It's a residue. It'll wear off. Amen. But think about it now. That's Jesus. There's something in him. And when they saw that, they said, they remembered the scripture, the zeal of your house has eaten him up. zeal has consumed me. I remember Pastor Jay telling me or someone about the word enthusiasm, meaning to be filled with the Spirit or something. So when they saw Christians, they were like, these people are filled with the Spirit. The word is enthusiasm or something like that. Where it's like, you know, to see a Christian, we should see someone who is enthusiastic about the things of God. I don't mind if you're not enthusiastic about business. I don't care if you're not enthusiastic about sport. I don't care if you're not enthusiastic about politics and Clinton and Trump and everything else. And maybe it doesn't even bother you. But when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to God, when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the Word of God, and it comes to the church, there should be something in you that lights up and says, now you're talking. Now you're talking. Now you're tracking with me. Let's get down to this. There should be something in us that has that. And so we start with God, and then we said, you get organized, be faithful, and live sacrificial. Leader, if you want momentum, if you do those four things, you will not only have momentum, you will have a powerful, God-filled ministry that will have major effect within your lifestyle, within your lifetime. The text that we read at the weekend, John 12, verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace, your mercy, your love, your kindness. I pray, Father, you would stir us up. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for all that you're doing in this church. I pray that you would continue it. Our confidence is not in ourselves, our ability, our flesh, our talent. Our confidence is in your Spirit. And Father, we know that you're with us and you love us. Let Jesus be magnified. And all God's people said, amen. And the real church said, amen. So, very simple scripture. And except a grain of wheat falls into the ground, nothing is produced. And so, I want to say this, you know, very simply. Wherever you see there has been momentum, someone has lived sacrificial. If you see any momentum in something, if you see a company and that company has momentum, somebody in that company has lived sacrificial. Someone had to sacrifice to start that company. If you see a family, how many know when you see children that are doing well, 99% of the time, you're going to see adults, parents that had to sacrifice. That's the reality. You're going to, whatever you see, if you see a church that's running well, this church is a church well organized. We've had different ministers come in here. They love it. Can I tell you? It's because there are people here living sacrificial. Not just me. I don't just mean, yeah, me. It's me. No. The ministers here, the ushers here, the many of you here, most of you here, you're living sacrificial. And that's why we're seeing the momentum that we've seen. Now, to live sacrificial, you need to understand this. There is a seed principle that God has designed life around. The seed principle. Look at someone and say, seed principle. You got to understand this. What do we mean by a principle? This is like a law that governs most of life. The seed principle. God has designed it in all, everything that we see. The seed principle. Even in conception as human beings. How many know there's a seed? The seed of the man goes into the woman. That's what it is. And so the Bible shows us that that's how we're all born. It's a seed. Even in the nature, we see that with animals. And what we're talking about in our scriptures, agriculture. A seed, you put the seed in the ground, and then something more comes out. Something bigger. It starts to grow. There's a momentum released when the seed is put in the ground. You need to understand this principle of life. I have a seed here, but that seed, nothing happens to it while I keep it. This is my seed. I love this seed. This is my seed. I've got this seed. I bring it out. I look at it. I show people. Wow, look at this seed. Put it back. I look at people. Yeah, come to my house. I put it on the mantelpiece. I put it in a frame. I talk about it. I take pictures of it. I put it on Instagram. Me and my seed. All of those things. But nothing changes. Nothing happens until I release it. I let it go and I put it into the ground. Now something happens. There's a principle there. The two principles I want you to understand is, seed comes before fruit. Seed comes before fruit. If you're going to have fruit, you first had to have a seed. How many want a fruitful life? You're going to have to let go of some seeds. Seed comes before fruit. The other thing is you got to let go of your seed to bring more fruit. Now, if you don't understand this principle, living sacrificial is going to be hard. If you don't understand this principle, living sacrificial is going to be hard for you because you don't want to let go of things. How many know none of us really like let going of things, like sacrificing things? you know, it's better to keep that seed. You know, I might want to munch on that seed later on. I might feel hungry. I might want to do something with that. We don't want to let go of things. Even as a young Christian, there are times when you're going to have to let go of some stuff for your Christianity to grow. You've got to make some sacrifices. I don't want to let go of that. I don't want to get rid of that. I don't want to stop going there. You've got to do that as a young Christian, as a young convert, for your spirituality to grow. Remember, if you don't let go, then nothing will grow. Simple as that. I know this rhyming. Nothing to do with Jamaica. That had nothing to do with Jamaica. Yeah, he's just rhyming now. No. You know, if you don't let go, nothing's going to grow. And that's the same with you. If you don't start to let go of some stuff, nothing grows. It's just hard. See, can I say to you today, before we, yeah, that's right, I've been trying to tell that new convert to let go of that. Before you start to go on like that, the older we are, the harder sometimes it is to give. It gets harder because, how many know when you get £10 and you're giving God your 10% out of your £10, it's easy to give God £10. How many know, is it, yeah, okay, this the £10 out of my £100. But how many know, listen, what if somehow, you know, you a relative somewhere, I don't know, you never knew them, they never knew you, but somehow they passed on and they gave you 100,000. That's 10,000. 10,000. Now, some of you are like, yeah, if I have 100,000, I'd give 10,000. Yeah, you ain't thought about it yet. Yeah. See, when people do that, I just like, yeah, they haven't thought about it yet. To give 100, you have 100, yeah, but I'll have 100,000, but 10,000 can do a lot, you know. 10,000, you can buy a car for 10,000. In some places in England, you go up north, you can pay a deposit on a house. Rent it out to some students. Make some money. Hey, I'm just giving some people some advice just in case you got 10 grand. If you do that, cut me in. Remember me, man. Christmas is coming. So think about this now. So you think, oh, no, I would give that to, yeah. No. Listen, the more we get, the harder it is many times for us to release that seed. The Bible speaks about two people in the scriptures. One is a widow woman. And you can read that in Mark 12, 43. And so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say unto you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who gave out of the treasury, for they put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, a whole livelihood. There's a poor widow. She puts in everything she's got. Oh, that's difficult, man. But then when you see also in Mark 10, verse 20, we see a different thing. This is the rich young ruler. He's very rich. He's got a lot of stuff. And Jesus tells him, hey, just sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Come follow me. And in verse 22, but he was sad at the words and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We see one person that has little can give everything, and one person that has a lot finds it hard. You know, they actually say that people in third world countries, Christians who live in third world countries, outgive Christians who live in first world countries when it comes to a proportion of their actual income. People in, you know, how many was in the conference and they were talking about that woman in Namibia? You know, what she's earning, and she's given like 3 months' wages, you know, for them to buy donuts. And it's like, we didn't want to eat donuts after that. See, when we come in, we're young, we're involved, we're doing things. But what you start to see is when people start to get a life now, they become more busy. It's hard for them to live sacrificial. Pastor, I've got a family now. How do I live sacrificial now? Pastor, I've got a career now. How do I live sacrificial now? Pastor, I've got kids now. I can't do this. Do you know, let me just throw this out there. I don't have kids, so I always have to be sensitive when I say this. But my observation is this. I've seen some single parents be more involved and they've got kids. As a single parent, it's very, very difficult. Being a single parent, those of you that are married with kids now, you must realize, boy, how do single parents do this? How do they do this? Because I see people that are married, they're like, oh, Pastor, this ain't easy. And that's two of you. And you see single parents, and they come to church, they're involved in everything, and they get involved, and they do so much. And they give, and they're here and there. And then when people that got saved in the church, and then you start to draw back.
I'm not telling anybody what to do or what not to do. I'm highlighting that the more you get, many times the harder it is to give. And next time when you read about the rich young ruler and you brush that off, he should have given. Think about what Jesus actually said to him. And would you be willing now? Because when I read that scripture now, when I used to read that scripture before I had a house, before I had a wife, before I had a house, he's a bum, he's rubbish, he should have done. Now I have a wife and a house and a few things. And now to read that and like, give it up, give it all up. I'm saying I can't, I won't. But I'm like, hey, I feel your pain, brother, man. Rich young brother, I feel your pain. I'm feeling you now, man. Can I tell you, church, we are all here, and me, you, we are all here because someone else lived sacrificial. Do you realize that? You are here because somebody lived sacrificial. I am here. I am in my ministry today. I'm saved today because someone before me lived sacrificial. And you can imagine, it's like, you know, the relay race where they pass on that baton. And so you pass it on. It was passed to you and you pass it on. There's like watches, and there's a company, they're very expensive. The watches are thousands and thousands of pounds, hundreds of thousands. And what they said is, this is their logo, this is their thing. They said that you don't own one of these watches. You're just looking after it. Because what they're saying is that you're going to buy one of these watches, only millionaires would have them. You're going to buy one, and then basically it will outlive you. Because they've got these watches, some of them are like 90 years old. And you'll pass it on to your son or your nephew. And so what they're saying is you don't own it, you're just looking after it. And you're going to pass it on. And there are people that have three generations they've passed these watches on to. Three generations. They say, you don't own it, you're looking after it. Can I tell you, there is something about ministry and the church and about our Christianity is that you don't own this. It shouldn't stop with you and me. We're just looking after it. And we want to make sure that when we pass it on to the next person, when we pass it on to the new convert, when we pass it on to the next generation, we've looked after it. That we've not sucked everything out of it. Goes back to the old story where someone drives up to the McDonald's drive-thru, buys a coffee, and the person buys the coffee, and they pay for the coffee, and they say, pay for the person behind as well. Keep the change. They give them a certain amount of money. Keep the change, pay for the person behind to have a coffee. The person behind drives up, can I have a coffee? They give them the coffee, they're going to pay. They say, no, the person in front paid it. They're like, wow, okay, keep my money anyway, pay for the next person. Next person comes up, same thing. Wow, pay for the next person. You know what's going to happen, isn't it? Some brother just ride up there like, hey, I want a coffee. Hey, it's been paid for. Praise God. The Lord sees. Wednesday night, let's give a testimony. I just want to testify. I went to McDonald's the other day. And the Lord provided a coffee for me. No, but you've stopped the good feeling. You've stopped it. That's what it is. Whenever I get to the place where I'm like, you know what? I've sacrificed too much, man. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to. God tells me, listen, what if that happened to you? When I got saved, I never had a place. And so there was a brother in the church. We're good friends. And so he had a place. And so he said, you can come live with me. And so I went and lived at his house. And we stayed at his house. And, it was a good time for me. We was fellowshipping, Bible study, discipling, and all of that. And then I got my own place. And I'll be honest with you, I'm the type of person I like my own space. I don't know if you like that. I like my own space, man. I don't want to be living with nobody. I don't know, brother, living with me. I don't want people involved in me, man. Let me come at my house and I'll deal with you and laugh with you and joke. But then when I go home, I'm serious, man. Please. I just want to read my Bible in peace. Make some notes, do some studying, listen to some worship. That's how I wanted to roll. But when I got my place now, something in me said this, Courtney, What if that brother did the same thing? When you needed a place, he opened up his place for you. And I was like, you know, that's true. And so I had to open up my house. Paul came and lived with me. Another guy came and lived with me. The other brother came and lived with me. But can I tell you, it made me the man I am. It's helped me. It's filed off some of my rough edges. I'm a lot more easier going. I'm a lot more approachable. You're like, Pastor, you're not that easy. You're not easy. But I'm a lot easier than I was because of that process. And it's helped me to link with people and to know. And so the thing is this, people that have sacrificed for you, there are men here that Brother Owen invested in, man. That brother was a soldier. That brother was serious. He was he was every guy that we've sent out of this church. You know, when they leave, you feel it. But I'm telling you, we felt it. And so, you know, he's gone to be with the Lord now. But if you want to continue his legacy, you go and meet with some guys in McDonald's. You're like, Pastor, I'm tired, man. I know you're tired. You don't think he was tired? You don't think he had other things going on? It's a legacy. It's what we hand. I remember going to people's houses. Like, we was joking with Pastor Simeon the other day when he came over, and I said he invited me around his house, and I'd never been to someone's house in the church, and he brought out some stew and some, I don't know what it was, man. He was just dipping it in and swapping it around and doing this. Hey, listen, look, no, don't be offended here, yeah? We love everybody here. This is the United Nations here. Is there no Trump up in here, you know? We love everybody. And I remember Harriet, she brought out like a plate, knife and fork, chicken, some chips. She knew, this brother ain't ready for that. You can't handle that. I'm like, what is that? It seems just went, you can't handle this. You're not ready for this. And he was right. That's all, we're hanging out. And so when I got my place now, I remember thinking, you know what? I want my house to be a fellowship haven. And so I deliberately, you know, the way I organized my house and that, because I was like, people are going to be coming through here. It's no point in me just buying, like, you know, white carpet and white this and white. People will be coming in and out of here, man. And so I need to just, you know, probe that. And there's people in this church. You know, there's people in this church, what they've told me? They'd rather pay more rent and live closer to the church so that they can have more people come through their house. And those people are being blessed. God is providing for them. Because God likes that, because they realize, hold up, we need to pass something on. We need to live sacrificial. And listen, look, I still don't live close to the church. So if you don't live close to the church, leave here today. I'm depressed. Pastor didn't. No. We're just making illustrations here. Let me move on to this. Is that in our text it says, if we're willing to die, if we're willing to make sacrifices, we can produce much grain. I want to say to you today, inside of you, there is the potential to produce much grain. In every single person here, God has brought you here for a reason. You are here for a reason. You are not just here to warm a seat. I don't care if you've been saved a day or 100 years. Every single person here, you can produce much grain. It's in you. Look at someone and say, it's in you. Look back at them and say, it's in you. Yeah. It's in you. Think about it now. If you look at a seed, you don't see a tree. It's amazing to think this is God. This is the seed principle. There's a tree inside of a seed. That's amazing. Like, because we know it. Yeah, we know that. No. Stop and think. If you came from another planet and you said, look at all these things. What are they called? They're called trees. Where did they come from? This. What? How can that come from that? You cut it open. It's not in there. I don't understand it. And that's why sometimes you look at yourself and you think, what can come from me? What can come from me? And you cut yourself up. What can come from me? What can I do? Can I tell you today, with all of your flaws, with all of your mistakes, with all of your ups and all of your downs, God says, listen, if you're willing to trust me and sacrifice, you will produce much grain. There's more in you than you can ever believe. You know, going places and preaching. You know, just coming back from Jamaica, and as I was preaching there in Jamaica, and these disciples are coming up to me, and they're like, oh, this is Pastor Lowe, and he's from England, and he's from London, Pastor Lowe. And they're talking to me, and as they're talking to me, I'm like, bro, man, it's just, I was just a disciple like you. I've just sacrificed. You know, I'm amazed that God is using me. I'm amazed that I'm still here. Because I did not see these things in me, going around the world, starting church. Yeah, I didn't see these things in me. And you may look today and think, you know what, you look at your failures, you look at your flaws, you look at all of your mistakes, you look at you as up and down. Can I tell you, I've been there. I've been up and down. I've been backward and forward. I've been all of those things you could say. I've been through it. But one thing is, I'm going to stick at this. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to push forward. I'm going to get up. I'm going to dust myself off. And I'm going to look to Jesus, because the Bible says there is more in me than there looks like on the outside. There is much grain in you. Galatians 6 verse 7 says this, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary. Let me repeat that. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What he says here is a guaranteed. What you sow, you're going to reap. You're making decisions right now. You've made sacrifices right now. You're in the ground. No one sees the things that you're doing behind closed doors. You're resisting. You're doing things. Can I tell you, God is going to reward you. You are going to bear fruit. You are going to bear fruit. Why would he tell us don't lose heart? Because sometimes you do lose heart. You don't see anything yet. There's going to be a time between having the seed, looking at it, admiring it. Oh, look at this seed. Then God speaks to you. Throw it in the ground. Huh? No, I like this, man. Throw it in the ground. You're going to have more. You're going to like what it brings. No, I don't know, man. I've had this seed all my life, man. My mom gave me this seed. This is a nice seed. You like the drama, isn't it? And so what you say is, throw it in the ground. You throw it in the ground, and for a period of time, you see nothing. So you've got nothing, and you see nothing. You've got nothing, and you see nothing. That's when the Bible says, don't lose heart. Because the temptation, now, let me dig this thing up. Putting it in the ground, I'm not doing it. No. I'm not putting nothing in the ground again, man. You fool me once. No. Try to gas me up. Come to the church. Man, gas me up about putting it in the ground. Sacrifice and get rid of this. Yeah, I threw away my music. I got rid of my friends. I don't see nothing. That's the principle. He says, no, put it in. But don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. You've got nothing. You see nothing. But don't lose heart, because under the ground, in the unseen place, something is happening. Something is going to happen. God says he is not mocked. He is not tricked. This is a law. Whenever you sow, you'll reap. Whenever you make these sacrifices, God is going to give you fruit from this. You are going to see fruit. Can I tell you today, let me throw this out there. Where are you looking to reap today? What area of your life are you looking to reap? Then I want to tell you, start sowing in that area. Start to sow in that area. There may be people in this church, you want friends. Maybe you feel lonely, disconnected. Listen, even in a church of our size, people can easily get lost and feel lonely and not have friends. Can I tell you today, and the problem is with that mindset, we can come to church, people don't know what I'm going through, people ain't asking me, I didn't come to church for 2 weeks, no one called me, people didn't know I was in hospital. No, we didn't, because you've not linked your life with anybody. See, let me tell you what you want to do. God, I want more friends. Okay, so in that area. What I mean by sacrifice in that area, die to self in that area. Start to get involved with other people's life. Start to get involved. Start to come to church. Take your eyes off yourself and start to look at others. Hey, I noticed that sister. No one really talks to that sister over there. And if you're over there, I'm not saying that no one talks to you. It's just a random thing. I have to always say that because probably he was looking at me. Was he talking to me? No. Now, brother here, there you go. That's the best way. Let me go talk to him. And, hey, bro, how you doing? Oh, really? What are you into? Oh, wow. Is this what you do at college? Hey, that's amazing, man. Hey, what are you doing the weekend? Yeah, after outreach. Hey, let's link up. You're all about them. The wife is like, hey, he don't do this for me. He don't do that for me. He don't do it. Yeah, but what do you do for him? Have you sold love? Amen, sister. Have you sold love into that marriage? Bro, oh yeah, she don't. Okay, bro, are you sowing love into that marriage? I need to behave myself, man. Forgiveness in that marriage. Sow forgiveness. Okay, I'm going to sow forgiveness in you. Because listen, eventually, I'm not going to lose heart. I forgave you. And she's still talking about what I did last week. I forgave you. What? Why? No. Don't lose heart. Keep sowing forgiveness again. Forgive her again for bringing up what you did last week. Forgive her for that. I'm going to sow forgiveness. Because the Bible says, listen, don't lose heart. Because what you sow, you shall reap. You're going to see it. Generosity in your marriage. Kind words. We had a marvelous time yesterday in our Bible workout. And we spoke about words. We was looking at James 3. Powerful. I tell you, we felt the Holy Ghost in there. There's only three of us, four of us. We were there studying the Word of God. We felt the Holy Spirit speaking to us and just ministering to us and really encouraging us. Listen, we left there saying, you know, we're going to speak words of life everywhere we go. And we expect to see a great reward from that. Do that in your marriage. What about your finances? You want financial breakthrough? Are you sowing liberal giving? What about fruitfulness in your ministry? Are you sowing prayer in your ministry? I'm surprised, and I'm starting to realize, many, many people, they don't pray for their ministries. Many people, I mean really pray. I don't mean, you know, we go upstairs, we do the we're still praying, amen, the corporate prayer. Yeah, what's going on, bruv? Yeah, no, I don't mean that. You know, and that, listen, I'm not dissing that. God, we need to seek God. What I'm talking about is in your own time, and you close the door, and you say, God, help me in this follow-up. Help brother so-and-so make the right decision. Help sister so-and-so do the right thing. Lord, help me in this thing. I'm really trying to learn this song. Help me to learn this song. Lord, help me. As you're praying for your ministry, there's a few men I've been working with over the last few months, and they came to Pastor, you know, my ministry, it's just not. I said, bro, you need to start to pray. Can I tell you? I'm not going to say who it is, but he would testify. So just in case you don't believe me, I could bring it out. But he testified, listen, we're seeing things happen now. Because people, when you will pray over your ministry, just before I went away, somebody came to me and said, Pastor, there's an issue here. I said, you know what, I'm going to pray. You pray. I've been praying about it. Just today I spoke to the person. I said, you know what, we've seen a total difference. Because prayer works. Are you sowing prayer into your ministry? You want your ministry to be fruitful. You've got to be praying about it, bringing it before God. God gets involved when you put it before God in prayer. And preparation and faith and all of these things. I could go on and on and on and on and on about many different areas. But you know what area you're looking to reap. I want to say before you want to reap, you need to understand the seed principle. Is that you better sow, make those sacrifices. Live sacrificial. Sacrifice for people. Sacrifice for your church. Sacrifice in your life. You will see momentum in your life. We've already started to see a dramatic change in our church over the last 2 months. And I really believe God is doing a fresh new work in our church. And just before we enter the year, God is revving us up for the new year. And I believe when we hit the new year, we're going to hit it running. We're going to hit the ground running. We're going to see things. But not just the church corporately. Because so many times I talk about the church like this corporate thing, this thing which is this entity. And people probably think about the church and pastor. But I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about you as individuals. Seeing God use you in ways that are beyond what you could imagine. We've got good ministry here. Last Wednesday, two brothers preached powerful sermons, I heard. People gave me good reports about that. That's ministry. That's homegrown. Our baby churches are doing well. Praise God. We want to see what God will do next year by his grace and by his mercy. Let's believe God. Say, God, I'm contending for nothing less than momentum. Start with God. Be faithful. Get organized. Be faithful. Live sacrificial. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.